There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you here. And it was a great time to see so many of y'all at the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Started thinking about this too. So mea culpa. What happens is I get in an event like that. And I'm doing the radio show and interviewing people on Friday, and I'm surrounded by outdoor stuff. So I'm like... if you took Hunter Biden and Robert Downey Jr. and put them in a cocaine factory, I was distracted, okay, with the outdoor stuff going on. So didn't do all the things I was supposed to do, but I'm correcting it. So today, and I was hanging out, eating some great food with my buddy Joey Mason from Mason Hills Farm on Saturday. Reminded me that I didn't give y'all the chance to win the $100 gift certificate on Friday. So coming up this hour, your chance to win a $100 gift certificate from Mason Hills Farm so you can get the meat for this weekend's cookout watching football. He's got a great selection online, or you can go in person and see him with the shop there, which is beautiful. We'll give you a chance this hour to do it. And also, speaking of being at the grounds for the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo, I told folks each day to drop their names in that bucket, the FM Talk 106.5 logoed bucket with the rope handle and the little throw handle on the bottom and all that, like next level bucket stuff. And we did that. So each day we collected names here and we've done the drawing here through the very scientific method, which was, so my friend Celeste having a basket full of these names, and then I reached in and grabbed, without looking, grabbed a name and pulled them out. So our winners here for the buckets, there's three of y'all. I'm going to give the names here, give your names, and then we'll call you as well if you're not listening right now, and you can come by here and pick up your buckets. But if you're listening, call us at 343-0106 to collect your bucket. Steve Steele, congratulations. Ben Wolf, congratulations. And Gerald McDonald, congratulations. Y'all all won FM Talk 106.5 logoed buckets, and we'll get in contact with you. Or if you heard your name, just give us a call at 343-0106. And you can stop on by the studio and pick up your bucket. So there you go. But yes, your chance to win Mason Hills Farm coming up this hour as well. Listen, I was so out of it doing the outdoor stuff, so into that, that I didn't even put in my picks for College Pick'em. Although I've been doing so poorly this year, it may not even matter. I'll pick it up this week and try to make it up. All right, a lot of text here I want to get to. Before we do, okay, we'll come back to the text line. I do want to read this story because this is something that's been... something I've been watching for months and months and months, and I've mentioned to you many times on the show, and maybe there's something to finality, maybe not finality, but there's more news on it. So Reuters reporting this morning, a Pakistani man has, they said, pleads not guilty to U.S. assassination plot charges. Remember I told you that the Iranians and, heck, the FBI came out and said, hey, by the way, I mean, it made the news for like a day or two, and then people seem to forget it. That the FBI said, we've got an Iranian assassin in the country trying to take out Trump, trying to take out Pompeo, trying to take out John Bolton. Remember that? Okay, so here's the story this morning. So a Pakistani man with alleged ties to Iran pleaded not guilty on Monday to charges stemming from the alleged plot to assassinate American politicians in retaliation for the killing of Iran's Revolutionary Guard's top commander, Qassem Soleimani. Asif Merchant, 46, entered his plea to one count of attempting to commit terrorism across national boundaries and one count of murder for hire at a hearing before U.S. Magistrate Judge Robert Levy in Brooklyn. The judge ordered that Merchant be detained pending trial. I think that's probably a good choice. Let's not have him out on bond. Federal prosecutors say Merchant spent time in Iran before traveling to the United States to recruit people for the plot. Okay. Merchant told a confidential informant that he also planned to steal documents from one target and organize protests in the United States. The defendant named Donald Trump as a potential target, but had not conceived the scheme as a plan how to assassinate the former president, according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of everybody with me, anonymity. Court papers do not name the alleged targets, and no, but the FBI did, Reuters. The court papers don't, but the FBI said this. Said no attacks were made as President Trump had in 2020 approved the drone strike on Soleimani. I would point out, too, if you want to look at presidents that have approved drone strikes, right? If that's Bush, but you go straight into Obama, did the same thing, right? And then afterwards, I'm sure Biden has done the same thing. So says there are no suggestions that Merchant, and I don't know about Biden, but I do know Bush and Obama and Trump all did. So there are no suggestions that Merchant was tied to an apparent assassination attempt on Trump at his Florida golf course on Sunday or a separate shooting of the Republican presidential candidate at a rally in Pennsylvania in July. Merchant was arrested in Texas. Okay, so this goes, once again, I'm not saying one ties with the other. I hope they're researching it. I hope they're investigating. I'm sure they are. But you have the FBI told us months and months and months ago, hey, we've got an Iranian asset here, right, who's looking to recruit people to assassinate Trump being one of them. It's like I asked that question when Pompeo came to speak. I think he spoke at the University of Mobile, and my buddy Dan Brennan was doing MC work. Before he left, I said, by the way, do know that that name is on this list of people to be assassinated. Said Iran's mission to the United Nations said back in August that the modus operandi described in Merchant's court papers ran contrary to Tehran's policy of, quote, legally prosecuting the murder of General Soleimani, end quote. So there you go. So just a piece of news out today, you know, after what happened yesterday, something that was just kind of rolled out there. All right. This is Chris in Orange Beach says, because I don't watch social media, I was, however, watching football on Fox and CBS, along with 60 Minutes last night, and did not hear about Trump until this morning. Amazing. So, and I heard about it. Here's some, Chris, you'll understand this. I heard about it about the ships when I brought the phone out of airplane mode back into trying to get a cell signal because we were way offshore, like fools, because, by the way, I think it was supposed to be 1 foot or less yesterday. I can guarantee you, and I have photo documentation, it was not 1 foot or less yesterday. But coming back in, that's when I first heard it. And Chris, it's interesting, too, the way it was spun. Because looking at my text and getting a call from an important arbiter of information, my mother, the mother said, you know, they tried to take out Trump again. They tried to kill Trump again. Then talking to friends of mine that were not really engaged in news. They said, oh, I thought I heard something about it. Something happened. Somebody was on the golf course or something. And then a friend of mine who has left said, oh, it sounds like the Trump campaign is trying to make something over this, but there's some guy in the area that might have had a gun. So it's interesting how it dribbled out, right? So, Chris, like folks like you not seeing anything, no breaking in for it, which give me a break. Somebody trying to assassinate a presidential candidate, let alone a former president, you should have the cut-ins. You should have the cut-in. You know the way, or do the picture-in-picture. You always hear, like, folks in TV probably are not along with me here, because I've heard y'all stories that, like, you got a golf match on or something like that, and you have to cut in because there's a dang tornado bearing down on the place or something like that, and people go, I can't believe you cut in the golf match to do that. But, Chris, I heard the same thing, that now, Fox News was covering it, the cable news, but the mainstream networks, I don't think, were doing it. Fox News was doing it, but they didn't cut into the game on Fox. So it is odd. Are we at a place where an attempted assassination or a setup? I don't know how you call this. The last one with Dirtbag in Butler, Pennsylvania, that's an attempted assassination. I pulled the trigger, trying to kill the guy. They said they're going after him for gun charges. But, I mean, what else was he doing there? And you can look at we think we're going to be able to hear from this guy what he was thinking. So it's an attempted assassination. But it's interesting how the information came out. You know, some people here, there needs to be somebody who just breaks in without an angle on it and saying, here's what just happened. Here are the facts we know, right? We're getting that today, but yesterday. We'll get into the, I see several of y'all want to talk about this red light deal. It says, David said, would it be unconstitutional revenue generation for the city to have such screwed up traffic lights, especially along Airport Boulevard? Preach! And then send out a bunch of police officers to enforce traffic light laws. Well, we'll get to that. It's not exactly just that. I'll read the story. Michael said, how about the city of Mobile fix the stupid red lights on Airport or the retarded ones on University at the south entrances? That trip without cars even being present before they try to enforce stupid red lights is their incompetence that's causing people to treat their stupid intersections as stop signs. Okay, here's a story. Here's a story. So this is from WPMI, so NBC 15. And it says this. On Tuesday, that'd be tomorrow, y'all, on Tuesday, September 17th, and on Wednesday, September 18th, Mobile Police Department officers will be conducting an enforcement operation focusing on traffic lights and failure to register violations. The mission of this, quote, red light blitz, end quote, is to ensure motorists are operating their vehicles in a safe and responsible manner when passing through intersections. During the operation, officers will also ensure their vehicles are properly registered and insured. Over these 2 days, officers will monitor major intersections throughout the city of Mobile. So they did, you know, I don't know which major, probably guess which major intersections. But back to those texts there. This is, and I am not just calling things stupid or what I'm from the bottom of my heart. I've mentioned this to folks, you know, that are in law enforcement. Of course, this is going to have to come from city government. But the situation on Airport Boulevard, I know there might be others that fit into this. But I'm just, for me, this is the one I drive every day. And I live out past the airport and drive to our studios here at Airport and 65. And the syncing with them, and I'm no traffic engineer. I'm just, you know, I'm just me. Is really messed up. And I'm for public safety. And I think there is a public safety argument to be made here that this is not good. And you could say, well, people shouldn't speed. I agree. But we're also not living in a Pollyanna world. And when you have the lights to where somebody cannot leave one light driving speed limit or even a touch over the speed limit, they can't leave one light on Airport, and I'm just saying Airport, there may be others that fit this, and make at least one of the next two lights, then there's a, well, it looks like Daytona. When the light does go green, people are going very fast in an attempt to just not get stopped at every light. And that is for major intersections, also very frustrating on some of these smaller roads that come in, the north-south roads coming in across Airport that stop people and they sit there. And, you know, I've talked about it coming in early to the station or late in the evening when there's just not a lot of traffic, and to sit there and watch a whole light cycle that seems to me, takes as much time as it does during the day with nobody crossing there. But yeah, it's leading to people speeding. And I think that's the problem, right? So that leads to dangerous situations. People running red lights, that's dangerous. People speeding on Airport, that's dangerous. But isn't there an easier way? I mean, all law enforcement can do is enforce laws, right? So they're enforcing the laws that are there. So it's not on them. It's on legislative bodies and executive branch bodies to look in this and say, are we doing the best thing here? Maybe they can come on it. I would love any traffic engineer wants to come on and tell me, please, come on, just contact me. I'll get you on the show. Couldn't we do a better job of having a system where if somebody is traveling, you know, a major road like Airport, that they could drive at the speed limit or, you know, a touch above the speed limit, that they could drive on the speed limit and make a couple of the next lights instead of stopping at every single light on a road? Once again, not defending. If you're speeding, you're running red lights, you're breaking laws. And that's what law enforcement's there to do, to enforce laws. But let's not look at the law. Let's look at not even the law. Let's just look at the engineering of those lights and the syncing of those lights. Are we doing the best job? I get to, plenty of texts to get to when we get back at 343-0106. You can put yours in as well. Same phone number. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Let's get the week started, too. Check it in with Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, getting an update on precious metals and a lot more. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, sir, Sean?
Doing good. So, and we'll also talk about the fractional silver we were talking about last week. What about prices just overall? How, what did we do from last week to this week?
Yeah, silver and gold.
I lost you there. Let's see if we get you back on. Well, that's now that was unfortunate. Whatever happened to the, can you only get Ron back on for me since we're dropped him. He had some good things to say, I'm sure. So we'll get back to it. So, see if y'all can get him on. Then we'll pick him up later on. All right, to the text line. Let's see here. Let's see. Gosh, I got to go back some distance here. All right. Grant said, Sean, who uses an AK for a 400-yard shot? No one trained or an ignorant individual. Yeah, I mean, the round can do it. And with the scope, obviously, I mean, Grant, you could dial it in. But I did think about that. The number of people using semi-automatic rifles for these things when, you know, I don't get a kind of macabre discussion here, but you'd have been better with some sort of other rifle round, right? And a scope on there that balances for distance, parallax. Yeah, okay, Ron's back. Okay, good. Ron, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, man. You were telling me you're about to break the news about what's going on this week with gold and silver prices.
Yeah, gold and silver are both up. A lot of people feel that the Fed's going to cut interest rates, and there's still, you know, a lot of uneasiness about the economy and all the stuff that went on over the weekend that affected it, too. So gold and silver were up. Not really sharply up, but gold is almost $2,600 an ounce, just a hair underneath, and silver is trading just over $31 an ounce. So both of them are up over last week quite a bit.
Okay, you mentioned fractional last week. How does this work?
Well, fractional gold is going to cost a little more in premium than higher gold, but it's all relevant because when it comes time to sell, you'll get more. We'll pay you more for the fractional gold. You can go anywhere from 1 gram. And anything smaller than a gram is pretty much useless. But a gram and higher are all decent investment points, but the best is a one-ounce size. But not everybody can afford it. A lot of people will buy 1/10-ounce gold, and then we get 10 of them to come trade it in, get their ounce of gold, and we'll pay them the premium that they basically paid. So they get, you know, some of their money back on that premium. So it's a good way for people to get an ounce of gold without having to come up with that money all in one shot.
Okay, you also mentioned last week, and I can't believe I go back to this because I don't understand the desire, but I do know it's a thing for these zombie coins. You had run through these. You said you were getting a new shipment of beautiful, cute, cuddly animals that had been turned into zombies, like pandas.
Yes, they just walked in the door, the newest shipment. So we have both silver, and we bought some in copper. Not everybody could afford silver. We had some youngsters coming in that wish they could own them, so they did have copper versions that are much, much more affordable if you really like the designs. The first three are out. It's a panda, the Taku turtle, and the other one is a zombie horse. So cool-looking zombie stuff, and it's by the same people that did the zombie bucks back 10 years ago. They're starting a new series, so very cool.
All right, tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Gumman Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com, or just give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, home of the zombie coins. Zombie animal coins. You got to be a movie in there, right? So the few pandas left in the world go zombie and they start chasing everybody. But you can't shoot them because they're a threatened species or endangered species. So then what do you do? There's a movie for you. All right, more from the text line. Dirt Digger said, how about stopping these drivers smoking all this weed on the road? Yeah, you know, the Up and Smoke program is up there through Sheriff's Department. I don't know. How many cars would you have to stop, Dirt Digger, really? You know, it's ridiculous, right? I've been talking about it for a couple of years now. You pull up, and I'm not just, it's not even a thing against weed. If I pulled up at traffic lights and could smell a big scent of Jack and Coke pouring from vehicles too, I'd say, you know, those people are probably not abiding by the law. They're driving while they're doing a drug. But you're right. I mean, Dirt Digger, I don't think there's a day I drive through our fair city that I'm not, you know, and it's not even like, I'm not like, oh, they got weed. I don't care. I care that you're doing it and driving, though. Aiden Citronella said, didn't Mayor Stimson get on the air about a year ago and brag about having the lights synchronized? I think he discussed that, Aiden. Yes. That was something that I've, I think, reminded folks about. All right. Okay. Here's Backstrap Stacker. He knows airport. And he, this is, should I say, because this is real world stuff. And I know that's what we deal with on the show. He said, if you can jump that next light, you can save 15 minutes from university to the interstate. If you catch one, you catch them all. It's true. What Backstrap is saying, this is the, and that leads to less public safety. So the traffic lights are there to ensure public safety. But the way they're set right now, human behavior, because of this fact that it takes you another 15 minutes to go that distance, people are hauling butt out there. I mean, it's just true.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Getting to those many texts coming in on this Operation Red Light program. First, though, let's talk vehicles with my man, David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars, and inventory on a Monday. How you looking?
Really good. We've got, you know, everything that we've, most everything, we're still missing a couple, but most everything that we bought last week's here, out front, ready to go. So if you're looking for anything, I mean, we've got cars, trucks, got a lot of nice trucks, small SUVs, and we did buy a 12-passenger bus. It should be here today or tomorrow.
Yeah, that's something. I'm glad you brought that up, because over the years you point out that you get, you know, the vehicles that most people think about. All right, he's got SUVs, he's got trucks, he's got cars, but you get, I mean, you get box trucks, you get vans, you get flatbeds, you get all that stuff in.
We do. Like we talked about before, I mean, when we're at the auction walking around, we see something we like. We know what our customer base is. We go just kind of gravitate towards that vehicle and these buses and whatnot. We've done good with them. We sell them to churches and you know, different organizations, and try to make sure they're nice and safe. And this is one of the big bubble backs with, it's got a handicap door. It doesn't have a handicap ramp in it, but it does have a handicap door. So if somebody wanted to put a ramp in it, they could.
Okay.
Really nice. You know.
So if somebody that, I'm sure there's somebody listening there, go, that's what we need for our church or our group. So how do they find you? How do they check it out? How do they get in touch?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
Hey, you too. There goes David McCrary from LCM Motor Cars. And, yeah, he always gets, like, I mean, there's the regular inventory, but then he has cool stuff. I mean, he's had, like, cherry pickers and the flatbeds and the box trucks and all that on the lot. All right, to the text line here. All right. So Backstrap Stacker had said, the little formula here, if you can jump, you put that in quotes, the next light, you can save 15 minutes from university to the interstate. If you catch one, you catch them all. And, that, you know, I know there's got to, the idea that you would catch every light, you know, your life would be green lights all the time is not realistic. But what's happened on airport and probably other roads, but I'm, you know, talking about airport, is that what Backstrap laid out, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you hit every light. There's got to be something. I know they got this program where they're, I don't think it was airport. I think it was other roads in Mobile. They were putting the cameras and monitoring the lights and trying to tweak them to make them better. I think there's a federal grant for that. That's off the top of my head. If I have it wrong, I'm sorry. Maybe it's a state grant. I think it was federal grant. Yeah, let's try airport on that one too. All right, Nick B said, I just sat on Hillcrest at Cottage Hill for almost 10 minutes. The turn lanes to Cottage Hill activated, but the straightaways did not. Sat through two cycles, and the cars were backed up a half mile each direction on Hillcrest. Yeah, and I'm sure, like I do this, I'm sure this is a problem on other roads. So, yeah, you can line them up here. I'm just thinking about the one that I'm just crying about what affects me. Paul said the same thing's going on here in Gulf Shores on 59 with the traffic lights. It once again, the idea that you catch every light, everything's be perfect. No, but it could be 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3, something like that. You know, it'd be, Chris says it ain't rocket science. Rocket science is what got the traffic backed up. Keep it simple, stupid. Oh, okay. Beforehand, he said, it's like over here, Highway 59 going to the beach. So just like Nick talked about, no, not Nick, just like Paul talked about, Chris says the same thing. It's just like over here on Highway 59, going to the beach, they need to turn them all north and south green for 10 minutes and all east and west green for 5 minutes and let the traffic roll. And they said it ain't rocket science. Let's see. So Connor says, okay, here we go. See, this is these are the stories. Hopefully, if the traffic engineers would listen or just go monitor our text line, I'll cut and paste these and send them to the traffic monitors. This is how it's affecting regular people. Connor says, I used to be able to catch green lights all the way from Hillcrest to Florida on airport, running slightly over the speed limit on the way to Murphy. But that's been a long time ago. I just try to avoid airport these days. I'm doing some of that when I remember to. I hate to say what I'm where I'm going because then everybody, but you know, they're doing some improvements on Ziegler, right? And so if you got to go west, it may be worth you taking the time to have to go north or south to where you go because your east and west flow is a little better. Although as soon as I said that, it's probably going to be messed up. Let's see. And Grant says, so Nick, you can hear that Grant says, my truck always tries to overheat at Hillcrest. It's ridiculous. So that's where so you got Hillcrest has got issues. Seems like 59's got issues. And maybe it's more complicated than it seems to us, right? Maybe it is. But I just think if we're doing this, it goes back. If you're just joining us, and this story came up, announcement for the Mobile Police Department, but the story over at MyNBC 15 says Mobile PD announces red light blitz traffic enforcement operation. It says, so tomorrow, and I'm paraphrasing their story, but put it in Sullivanese, tomorrow and Wednesday, MPD is going to be conducting enforcement operation focusing on traffic light and failure to register violation. The mission of the red light blitz is to ensure motorists are operating their vehicles in a safe and responsible manner when passing through the intersections. Once again, I go back to this. I agree. First of all, law enforcement is doing what they're supposed to do. It's in their name, law enforcement. So, and people running red lights is a deadly thing. Running stop signs, red light is a deadly thing. I think one of the side parts we're talking about is the speeds. People may not run red lights, but the speeds they're running to try to catch the next one or a couple of the next ones. It said, so MPD is going to be making sure the vehicles are in a safe and responsible manner, passing through intersections during the operation. Officers will also ensure vehicles are properly registered and insured. Over the 2 days, officers will monitor major intersections throughout the city of Mobile. So I think there's no question that it's a good thing to have law enforcement making sure people aren't running red lights. I mean, that's how people get killed. But at the same time, so that law enforcement doing that, enforcing the law that's on the books, hey, other branches of government, can we work on syncing these lights better? Is there any room to adjust there to make it work better? Bill says, why in the world would police tell when they will end the enforcement of cars stopping at red lights? Why wouldn't they want drivers to always fear getting a ticket? Well, they're always going to be running that. I mean, they're always going to be enforcing that. I think in this, it's when they get grant money or whatever, and they do a super saturation of certain places. Yeah, Earl says the same thing. I'm with both of y'all. We said, at what point is it legal to run a red light? It is not. So, Earl went on to say, I've traveled airport my entire life. I've never seen red lights at insignificant intersections turn unless someone was there. Now, airport seems to be a secondary road, not a primary road. Something has been wrong for a while. I'm glad you have more of a voice than regular people who doesn't complain about red lights. Yeah, once again, it's not just the red light part. It's the fact that the syncing of them, the idea that you should be able to not hit everyone. If you're doing the speed limit, right, and nobody here is saying run red light. I mean, so I'm for the enforcement of that. What I'm asking is, are people doing that and then also speeding because of frustration that I think, once again, I'm tailing off my statement, so maybe somebody that sets the lights from the city could talk about it. Is there something we could do better? Is there something that protects public safety, right? And yet there's no question that the run of the red light is deadly, and they're going to enforce that. And Earl and Bill and others, I'm with you. But can you do something here that helps public safety? Knowing that that people are going to get so far, if I think if people could, and I'm, you know, who knows what everybody in everybody's heart and mind, but if people can do things the right way, generally, there's always exceptions. There's always that jerk out there. You see them driving like jerks. I see them. But if everything's easier, then you'll have more cooperation and I think better public safety. So we'll see. I would love to get somebody on to talk about that. All right. Back to more conversation about the latest here. And I'm not going to use this guy's name, but I might end up using the guy's name because he was not successful, right? And because like on this show, if y'all don't know, I don't, when there's a killer out there, murderer, no matter what they're doing like that, I don't use their name. This guy obviously wanted that for himself. Why would he have had a GoPro cam, right, with his other stuff he had gathered there, the rifle and the backpacks and all that, and is what can be seen as nothing else as an attempt to try to kill Donald Trump. What else do we know about him? There's some things that come out. Maybe you've heard some of these. Maybe you have not. First of all, on the gun thing, and there have been, you know, the normal thing. Anything happens with a gun, then somebody shows up to say it's a gun. You know, it's about the gun, not about the person. Well, in this case, let me point out the guy was a felon. So the law on the books said he shouldn't have had a gun in the first place. So whatever gun registration regulation they wanted to put in from Washington wouldn't have stopped this guy. He already was doing something illegal, and they said the gun had filed off serial numbers. He was driving a car with stolen plates. Okay, so he broke that law. Had a long history of crime. It is weird to me, though, that the best they can do right now, and this doesn't mean what the finality of this, but the best they can do right now is go after him on the gun crime, federal gun laws, that has the most teeth of anything here. It's strange. I mean, how about like that you're, and maybe that will come out later, right, that you can do something, but like he had guns when he shouldn't. Okay. Well, what about the trying to set up to assassinate somebody, let alone former president of the United States, but that's what they're going with. So we will, like I said earlier, and even Congressman said, sit back and see what new information comes out over the next 24 hours. But obviously, we'll be talking about this going forward. And I want to do this before I go any further. And I'm looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106 because I have a $100 gift certificate to Mason Hills Farm. Get your meat for your next football game, party, $100 worth of meat from my man Joey at Mason Hills Farm. It's caller number 6 that will win it. You do that right there at 343-0106. So good luck. Caller number 6, I've always wanted to say this, the meat is yours. The meat is yours. So good luck. And also those names I drew earlier, I will be calling you, getting you the info to stop by and pick up your FM Talk 106.5 logoed rope handle, super throw bucket. Appreciate seeing all y'all out at the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo. All right, coming back, it's time for a checkup right here on the Daymobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back to time for a checkup on Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5. Dr. Kevin Patena with AltaPoint joining me. Good to see you. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you as well, sir.
This is interesting news out that you have a new treatment for depression. And you hear treatment for depression a lot. You don't hear new treatment for depression a lot, at least in my world.
Right. It's been really 30 years, 40 years since we've had a big breakthrough.
That long. Four decades. Now you got my attention. What are we talking about? What happened? What is this?
So previously the big breakthrough was kind of the advent of the SSRIs, Prozac being the big one in about 85 or so. Recently though, there've been a lot of breakthroughs as far as transcranial magnetic stimulation, Spravato, intranasal ketamine. which AltaPoint Health is now providing for patients on a pretty frequent basis here.
Is this a standalone treatment in this conjunction with other things? Where does this come in?
So both of these treatments are going to be done in conjunction with a standard antidepressant medication, at least one, but generally a lot of times patients who come to us to get these treatments are on at least one or two medications as is. So it's kind of to add on to in addition to whatever they're taking.
But what about that? I've heard people talk about, number one, I want to talk about like seasonally, or people, you get more people this time of year say, you know, mm-hmm. hey, I'm feeling depressed or something like that. It's a seasonal thing. And then beyond that, the medications, do people need to change because the body gets used to it? I don't know how the right terms, doctor, but you know what I mean? So those two things.
Right. So occasionally you'll see where the medications just lose their effectiveness over time.
So that's a thing that happens, right?
Definitely. Definitely. For a good amount of people, they'll lose effectiveness over a couple years, maybe, sometimes for a couple months for people. So these treatments are really indicated for what we call treatment-resistant depression. So these are going to be patients who maybe they've tried 3, 4, 5 different antidepressant medications. Maybe they've been successful for a period of time and maybe they've not at all. But these are going to be generally patients who have tried multiple medications and found that they've not been entirely helpful.
So it's probably great news for patients out there that said maybe this can't be helped and now there's something new.
Right, because about a third of patients who suffer from severe depression are going to find that they don't get much help, if any, from the traditional medications. So this opens up a lot of avenues.
What percent?
Probably about a third of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole bunch of Americans out there, a whole bunch of folks locally.
It is. I mean, somewhere between 10-20% of Americans throughout their lifetime are going to suffer from major depressive disorder. So if you think of about a third of those patients, that's a lot of people who could benefit from one of these new therapies.
Once again, come back to this before we finish up. The name of this, if somebody's asking y'all for it, is what?
So one of them is transcranial magnetic stimulation, also called TMS. And the other one is Spravato, which is an intranasal medication.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because you always say, I'm thinking, oh, it's got to be a pill.
But right.
You're not putting a pill in my nose.
No. So it kind of looks kind of like a bottle of Flonase almost.
Okay.
Like you spray it up your nostril and then you spray it up the other nostril. And then we monitor patients for 2 hours after they get the medication just to make sure that they're safe because these medications can alter blood pressure.
Okay.
But generally, they're safe and effective for most people.
How do we navigate? I talked about this time of year and whatever, but I mean, it's not as bad, I guess, here as it would be up north. But if people are how do they know if they've got depression or they're feeling depressed? Is there a difference between, I'm feeling depressed doesn't mean you have depression, does it?
Right. So really, when you look at the DSM-5 criteria for major depressive disorder, you've got to have either true like depressed mood or anhedonia, which is kind of the lack of interest in things. That can be a partial anhedonia where they don't really feel interested in doing the things they want to do, or that could be full anhedonia where they don't want to do anything. You have to have one of those two to be diagnosed with major depression, but you have to have at least 5 symptoms of depression for 2 weeks consistently to have major depressive disorder. So those symptoms will be depressed mood, anhedonia, difficulty sleeping, excessive feelings of guilt, hopelessness, or worthlessness, reduced energy, reduced concentration, changes in appetite, what we kind of call psychomotor agitation or psychomotor retardation, where patients maybe move a little bit slower than normal or maybe feel more irritable than normal.
Right.
So those symptoms, if you have 5 of those symptoms for 2 or more weeks, that would count as a major depressive disorder.
How do you gauge that in somebody like grief, mm-hmm. like somebody loses a loved one, a family member, or something like that? And so maybe those things you said, you feel that and you may feel it for weeks or longer. Has a chemical changed in that person versus somebody who has this, has a disorder with depression?
So you'll see there's kind of a big spectrum of grief where sometimes people will grieve and it will look exactly like depression. A lot of times people have some of these symptoms, but not all of these symptoms while they're grieving, or they might not have all 5 of these symptoms that they need consistently. One big thing to kind of differentiate grief from a major depressive disorder is the level of disability that you often see. a lot of times people with major depressive disorder are going to have their depression be so severe that they're missing time at work. They're neglecting spending time with people they care about. Maybe they're intentionally isolating themselves from friends, from family. A lot of times people who are grieving, and not to downplay how serious grief can be, a lot of times people who are grieving will actually find comfort and solace in spending time with those other people, or they'll say, going to work has helped keep me active and has helped keep my mind off of this. Whereas with depression, a lot of times the depression forces them out of those things that they know they'll enjoy.
Wow. This is the best explanation. I've always wondered that. I'm like, you know, is that the same? But it is not exactly the same. But if people are have been dealing with this over time, or maybe this is new to them, they need to get in touch with y'all at, at AltaPoint.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Dr. Patina, tell us how to do that.
So we have an access to care line that patients can call, and that phone number is 251-450-2211. And that'll get you in touch with somebody where we can schedule an appointment. What we do here is once you get a hold of somebody on that line and they'll take down your information, they'll schedule a consultation with myself so that I can evaluate you and kind of help determine, is one treatment more appropriate than the other? Maybe we need to try more antidepressants because some insurance companies will have different recommendations as far as treatment length and number of treatments tried. So I'll be able to do that consultation. I also do a pretty thorough medical evaluation to make sure there wouldn't be like a contraindication health-wise that people couldn't get one treatment or the other.
Okay. So, you got to look at that before you decide what's right for that patient.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this going forward. Pleasure meeting you.
Yes, sir. Pleasure meeting you.
Dr. Kevin Patina with AltaPoint right here on Midday Mobile, and it's time for a checkup.